sneaked around, and it's coming apart. And I'm sitting like this. I eat my food. Finally, the three guys get up, and I say, well, it's time to get back to the shop. Let's go. I said, well, I'll just stay here. Sit like this for about 5 minutes. And all around me are these official people. I get up and I walk out. I get out on the street and my pants begin to come apart. They're falling off. Well, do you know that I think seriously somebody put a hex on me. I think it was WNEW. I think somewhere Johnny Carson knew I was about to make it. To this day, I have not been able to explain what happened to these pants. I must have walked past one of these machines that squirting stuff out into the, into the air. Boy, at these moments that you can't erase from your life are the moments that make each one of us what we are. Like the time I'm a little kid. Oh, this is the moment. How many of you have this little secret desire? Whenever you go visiting somebody, to look in the medicine cabinet. Not only desire, you do. Come on, admit it, Oh, that's a great moment, you lock the door. You say, ah. And you open it up and say, oh, it's a great one, big, Got a million bottles, and it says take three a day, and in case of a sudden spasm, and you wonder what, then you take this one, it says, in case of frothing at the mouth, take... Oh, yeah, we've all got this little secret thing about medicine cabinets. I'm a kid, and at one time, Flick and Schwartz and Bruner, and myself. Now, how many of you, when you were kids, I don't suppose this pertains to kids that live in the apartment world. But for guys who lived in the world where they have real houses, and there's grass around them, and trees and stuff, about every third or fourth block, there was a house that was empty. People had moved out, and there was the word out that it was haunted. Did you have a haunted house when you were a kid, And you'd walk past it like this one. Boy, and it was always gray, and it had big windows. And once in a while, a little skinny lady would look out, say, don't you hit any balls on my shirt! One more ball on the yard, and the police are coming! She disappears. And it was always the rumor that she was a witch, or... the whole bit. Well, we had about four of these houses. And one Saturday is the day I think that almost everything happens to kids. One Saturday, Flick and Schwartz and Bruner and me were walking around. We're kids. It's Saturday. That fantastic feeling. It's Saturday. Nothing's easy. I got to feel this myth. Chewing the bubble gum. Nah, we're just kidding, we're just being kids, just walking around hitting each other and yelling, spitting. Just walking around looking for stuff. That's something girls don't do. Every male in this crowd has walked all through his life looking for great stuff, And you'll be surprised how much you find, I'll tell you. You say, what is that, see? I'll never forget the time I asked my mother. I took it home, Boy. you'll have to explain that when you get home. Sorry. Some people are born wearing girdles, So, we're out there walking around. Incidentally, speaking of finding things, you never lose it. Once you have spent an early period of your life going up and down alleys every Saturday looking for junk, you never get that out of your head. No, you really don't. I remember one time up on 59th Street, That fantastic subway station that has millions of people there, you know. And there are these little, you know, these garbage cans that help keep New York clean. What a joke. You know, and it's just help keep New York clean. And I'm standing there, and I walk past, and I look. You got to pull yourself away. There was that great piece of junk. You know, it had tar on it. I could see a transformer sticking out. A couple of knobs, you know. Gee, fantastic junk. You know, then I think, well, now, let's see. I've got a briefcase here. I'm standing there looking, you know, and I'm all dressed up. And I see another guy walk by, and this is the kind, you know, who wears a Chesterfield. He walks by, he's got silver hair, and I see him look. And the both of us are standing. And so, help me God, this guy walks over. He looks around. He's got wires and junk, you know, cigar butts hanging out. He pulls it out, shakes it, and sticks it. He's an ex-junkie. Oh, yeah, we used to call each other junkies, and so we're out junking. It's Saturday morning, see? We're walking around up and down the alleys, you know, kicking cans, yelling and hitting, you know. Once in a while, it'll be a little game. You know those spontaneous games that break out? You kick a little stick, and Flick kicks the stick, and next thing you know, I'm kicking, yelling. All of a sudden, you got rules off the fence, hitting each other. No, sir, hit by the ear, bang, you know. Friend, that's the way wars start. So we're, you know, we're walking around with, you know, kicking stuff. And we are now behind the haunted house. We're kicking junk, you know. Flick kicks a stick inside the haunted house's yard, you know. Bang. There we are, see. Like spontaneous combustion. All four of us, without saying a word, decide, today we're going to sneak in the haunted house. So walking around. And you know those kind of houses that have got basements? And they've got basement windows? And the window is sunk down inside? So walking around. Flick says, here's a window that's open. Kicks it, boing, it swings open. 30 seconds later, all four of us are in the basement at a haunted house. You know that great feeling of lawlessness? Oh, the devil has all the best lines. I'll tell you, you know, we're down, it's absolutely illegal, see. You know, there's signs all over say, keep out, stay out, no trespassing. Here we're in the basement. See. We see the furnace over there. You can smell that basement smell. Flick's looking around. You know, there's an old tire hanging on the wall. Let's go upstairs. And so we start going upstairs. Up we go. We are now in the old kitchen. You can see papers all over the floor. A couple of busted cups. And there's those big cupboards hanging open. A couple of cans of soup. Wow. Now we're in the dining room. You can see the windows all shuttered and it's dark, smelly. And now we are in the bedroom. Some more papers, cloth, mice, bats. You can see the bats hanging up there. All excited. The next thing we are in the John. All four of us. We go to the job, see? We want to see if the stuff worked, see? It did, by the way. So we're all standing around the job. Here is this big medicine cabinet. A Flick opens it. Four shelves of stuff. There it is, all in there. Little bottles with green pills. Yellow pills. White pills. There's a whole box of them that are flat. And they look like chocolate. Oh, that reminds me. What radio station is this? You could see why it reminded me, didn't you? WOR, and this is WOR AM, and what? And where are we? Oh, the Big Apple.
All right, fellas and gals, it's time to cut away from all that hoopla, that yelling and hollering down at the limelight. Leave old Gene Shepherd, that's me, struggling against the forces of evil, to break off here for a couple of minutes and talk about the good old friendly New York Times. And speaking about struggles, let's see, they have a whole big thing this week about struggles of all kinds in this Sunday's New York Times. It is full of struggles, and they all belong to other people. The Times Sunday magazine, for example, tells why those long-time battlers, the Northern and the Southern Irish, are now burying the shillelagh, and where. You'll also learn how folk singer Joan Baez keeps in training for those fantastic nonviolent battles of her protest movement. All of this is going to be in this Sunday's New York Times, your own favorite security symbol. So pick it up quick. It's Saturday night. You'll need the Times, the Sunday Times.
We ate from the top all the way down. Well, your kid's got an awful drive to do this, you know. We ate all the way from the top down, and all of a sudden, just like that, Flick looks over at Schwartz. I look at Flick. Schwartz is looking at Bruner. All four of us are standing there, and it hit us instantaneously, all four. Have you ever had a fever and chill simultaneously? Have you ever had constipation and the other at the same time? I could feel knots are twisting and stuff is going, and I could hear things down inside of me going, ah, ah, whoo! It's like this fantastic whoopee party is down in there, you know, they... Things are running around with hats and yelling and... Oh, 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 shoot. But Schwartz is hanging over the... Well, have you ever heard the expression dry heaves? When absolutely nothing happens, there's just a lot of action, you know. And it kept going... Oh, it was coming out of my ears, whistling. Schwartz is crying. Flick is crying. And all four of us are down in the basement climbing up the wall. And we split down the alleys. You know, there's a fantastic urge when you're mortally wounded to head for home. If you're going to die, you want to die on your own daybed. Oh, I come running up the front porch. I remember that, running up, you know. I can't get the door open. You know that awful moment, the door is closed. You can't get around. And I hear in there, come around the back. I just scrub. Oh, I'm running up the driveway, and on the hill is going up higher and higher. I'm in the back now, up through the kitchen. My mother opens the door. She, what's the matter with you? I had Mrs. Flickinger's meatloaf. I couldn't tell her what I've been doing, you know. And she takes me into the jar and hangs me over the sink. And it just kept coming. Well, my mother has a trick. It could be called, in boxing parlance, a kidney punch. She times it. Because, oh! One, two, three, oh, foul! She just ties it, oh, oh! And boom, out they came. Talk about tutti frutti, red, white, and blue. And what was worse, the sink was hissing, you know. You could see the metal is melting, you know. Well, you know, I started out a 9-year-old kid. Well, stuff came out of me that I must have eaten when I was 5. So help me God, I was hitting Pamplin. I mean, 3 Eskimo pie sticks were coming. Rubber balls and jacks and nails and tacks and a pair of pliers comes out. Oh. Oh, man. Are you any of you eating here? Just suddenly hit me, you know. I can see one cynical face over there. It's a doctor. Well, I'm telling you, she takes me in. You know that awful feeling, you know? I am now 2.5 feet tall. I've lost 1.5 feet. And she lays me on the daybed, and I'm laying there just sweat pouring out. It's just pouring out of me. And every once in a while, another one, ooh, it's tapering off. I'm laying there. My mother says, all right now. Tell me what you've been eating. She says, I told you not to spend that whole quarter on Pappy apples. I said, yeah. I had 5 Pappy apples. Happy Tapples. Baby Doppels. Bottles. And do you know that for years, this is by light of a confession. For years, my mother had a thing in her head from that moment on that taffy apples are deadly. And you know, to this day, she thinks it was taffy apples. And once in a while, you know, when I go home, my mother says, you had any taffy apples lately? I say, no, Ma. Because there was an absolute ironclad rule in our house. Don't touch anything in the medicine cabinet. And for that reason, there was a fantastic drive to not only touch everything, but to swallow everything. Oh, by the way, you know that stuff that they say is like chocolate? And they say it works slow and easy? Well, I don't know whether you've ever done away with a half a box. Very exciting evenings. Well, you know, when you're a kid, though, you approach things with a very different view than when you're a grown-up. You kind of accept disaster. Like one time, you want to hear another house story? This is very, you know, this house thing is very close to our hearts. How many of you have ever lived in a neighborhood where they build houses? And you know, all of a sudden, the vacant lot, they've got a big sign that says, for sale. And you've been playing ball there. You know, kicking tin cans around, fist fighting in this vacant lot. And one day there's about 45 guys with a bulldozer. And they're leveling it off. And they're building a new house. It's very exciting. Kids today don't see this who live in apartments. The excitement of seeing a new house. And they bring barrels. You remember the barrels full of the nails? And there's all that great wood. All that great tar paper is all piled up. Oh, you know, all that stuff that when you're a kid, you know, really is great stuff. They got tar paper and wood and they got nails. They got big barrels of paint. And every day, Flick and Schwartz and Bruner and me are walking past the new house. We'd watch these guys. How many of you remember the sound when you were a kid of hammers in the distance? Guys building a house. You hear this point, 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 point. Point, 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 point. Then you're, ow, 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 ow. Point, 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 point. Have you ever watched a really great carpenter work with the nails, you know? Boink, boink. Boink, boink. Have you tried it? You think it'll take talent, man, I'll tell you. That's why I got four fat thumbs. So we were building a cave. Now, the cave, incidentally, I've often wondered whether any good psychologist has ever done a monograph on the cave-building urge among males. I never heard of a chick build a cave. And yet every male has an insensate desire at about the age of 9 to burrow in. Dig a hole, you know. Yeah, dig a hole. What rotten people. Dig a hole, you know, and put stuff over the top of it and then sit in it. You just sit in darkness, you know. You smell the earth, you know, and all the chicks are up there on the outside playing house and stuff. I think it directly relates to the, you know, many people feel, many psychologists feel that men are much closer to the primal state than women. I mean, they're closer to, you know, that slope brow. Well, you can tell it. You walk down the street, you see a lot of Neanderthal men. You don't see many Neanderthal women. Oh, you see a lot of guys walking down. All he needs is a bone in his hand, you know. He spits and yells. Well, I think that is part of the cave-building urge. So me and Flick and Schwartz and Broner, we are building a cave. Now, by the way, we come from extremely law-abiding families. You know, when you hear about juvenile delinquency, you read about it in the paper. I wonder how many guys read about juvenile delinquency. You know, they read this. Hey, we come from extremely law-abiding families. You know, when you hear about juvenile delinquency, you read about it in the paper. I wonder how many guys read about juvenile delinquency. You know, they read this piece, and it says, sex orgy. Busted up in Watanabe High School. 47 15-year-old students were nabbed in dragnet. And you read this and you say, what a terrible thing. Isn't that awful? And what you're really saying is, oh. Oh, I missed out again. Oh, gee whiz. Born 10 years too soon. Oh, man, when I went to school, you know, an idea of a sex orgy was to sit there and play post office, you know, with a bottle you'd spin or something. And so Flick and Schwartz and Bruner, I come from that, you know, we'd never done anything wrong, really, until that day came when they were building the house. Every day we'd come home from school, see. We'd stand and watch them. We'd see all those great nails, all that great wood, all the tar paper. We'd walk on. And one day, one guy had a saying. It was Schwartz. I'll never forget, there's always one crook. There's always one guy that cheats on his income tax. One guy. And he bugs all the rest. Oh, yeah, there's always one guy in the office who knows somebody who knows where they steal Mustangs. And he gets them new for $4. There's always one guy, you know. There's always one guy who knows where any hour of the day and night you can see stag films. The real thing. See, incidentally, have you ever thought what a great thing it would be to bring some of those on television? Yeah, I've got an idea. How many of you would like, how would you like to make a little dough? Are you interested in some money here? I am trying to raise dough. Are you aware that off the coast of England right now, tonight, there is an unlicensed radio station? It's on a boat just outside the international limits. There's no rules, see? And they sit out there and they play rock and roll, do commercials. And the BBC is bugged. Can't do anything about it. Everybody's listening. There's one off the coast of Denmark. There's one off Sweden. There's one now sitting off the coast of Italy. It has not yet hit America. But this is a television country. I've got an idea, friends. I know where I can get a cheap Liberty ship. I got my connections. And I know where I can get a hold of a good second-hand TV transmitter. I propose that we lay about 15 miles off Babylon, Long Island. And we go on Channel 6 with art films. Can you imagine? They can't touch you, you know? Man, would you... Well, I'll tell you instantly. Can you imagine what that would do to the Late Late Show? And you'd have to get somebody very official, you see, and you'd have to say, tonight's art program. And you get somebody like the New York Times reviewer to introduce them. And can you imagine what kind of commercials we could put on? There's a lot of stuff that's sold you don't hear about, you know? Well, all right, we've all got this little basic thing inside of us, see? Well, you know, it's funny about that business. I wonder how many people would not watch. Can you imagine the guys? How could you help but turn on Channel 6 now that I think of it? You know, that's like the other day I read a piece in the paper about this reverend. Now, don't call me up and tell me I am being sacrilegious. There was this guy up in Canada. He's a reverend, see? And they found in his apartment 27,000 volumes of the wildest stuff in the world. He had 400 great films. And when they asked him what he was doing with it, he says, well, you've got to know what you're talking about. He was just investigating evil, you know. Well, I have an idea. A lot of people would look at Channel 6 to get mad. In a pig's ear. Well, so there we are, you know, we're very law-abiding kids, and we're walking past this place every day. And this, incidentally, is my first and most spectacular foray into the underworld. Well, we got to the point one day where Flick and Schwartz and Bruner and me are standing there. It's been raining, see, and the carpenters have knocked off. A couple of barrels of nails. A lot of two-by-fours. Even the word two-by-four itself is exciting. How many men get excited when I say two-by-fours, men? A lot of great two-by-fours out there. How about some ten-penny nails here? Yeah, you know, some great angle irons out there, men. So we're both, you know, me and Schwartz standing over here by the nails, and Flick and Bruner over here looking at the tar paper. And Schwartz says, I wonder if they'd care if I took a handful of nails. Oh, that's a great feeling. That's a male feeling to have a handful of brand new ten-penny nails. You can smell the oil on them, you know. They smell like metal. He sticks them in his pocket. I sneak over, take a handful in my pocket. They're sticking out. The nails are all sticking out like a porcupine, you know. Walking down the street. Flick's got a half a dozen shingles. Behind us, along comes Bruner. He's dragging a 2x4. Well, 20 minutes later, we are working on our cave. See, we're cutting up the 2x4. We're laying it across over here. We're nailing down with the, you know, on the top of this thing. Like that. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, friends, One of the worst things about crime, it's habit forming. And not only is it habit forming, the more you do it, the less it seems like a crime. And then if you do it a little more, you begin to feel like it's your right. Then the next step is that this stuff belongs to you. And they got no right to be using it, haven't they? I'm serious, that's exactly what happens in crime. Oh yeah, so